Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Justin and I'm pleased this evening to be joined by Carolyn. Carolyn, are you out there?
I am, Justin. Thank you.
All right. Excellent. So this evening, we thought we'd look a little bit at the practice of giving. And just to, you know, kind of set the stage for that a little bit, on Sunday, many of us were together for an all-day workshop. And during that workshop, we were looking at a number of things, and one of them is how we maintain a sense of other, how conditioning causes us to maintain a sense of other, looking at in sort of the context of, you know, our cooperative practice being lit up together. And we are offered a practice of giving as a way to transcend that sense of other and, you know, join with life and join with other people. And we thought it would be interesting and also helpful and perhaps inspiring to invite the whole Sangha into that practice and into that conversation. And so that's sort of the thinking behind Good News Update tonight. So to begin, Carolyn, I wonder if you might just tell us a little bit about what you've been seeing so far about the practice of giving.
It's been a revelation is the word that comes up. That it's been an eye-opening experience, a heart-opening experience. Nothing in my life has changed, and yet the way I'm in relationship with it has altered dramatically since the workshop.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so, well, say a little bit about what's going on there. What do you feel like has shifted, and what is it about this, the change in point of view that is causing that to happen?
There's a reverence that I've been experienced in just that oneness of giving and receiving with everything in life. That there's a conditioned belief that sacred moments happen few and far between. They can happen at the monastery. They can happen, you know, at group, whatever. And my experience has been that it's not that limited. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, conditioning is so limited.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been an expansiveness in being able to see, you know, second by second what's being offered.
Mm.
And being joyful in receiving it.
Mm-hmm. And that comes from a practice of giving.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And what we were looking at in the workshop was how we give our attention.
Mm-hmm.
What we're giving it to. The focus of our attention. And, you know, what is it we want to be in relationship with?
Oh, I see. That's interesting. So if we're giving our attention, I guess we could say we're giving our attention all the time to something.
Yes.
Habitually, we give our attention to egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and the voices and what the voices are saying, which tend to create a sense of self and other. It tends to make us feel separate.
Yes.
And kind of in the way you're talking about it, it completely takes away that sense of reverence and connection that we can more naturally feel with everything that is when our attention is being directed in that way.
Yeah, and what's coming up as I hear that, Justin, is that whole idea of giving and receiving. You know, there's that, okay, I'm giving, something is receiving. There's this object, you know, subject-object
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when that conditioned way of looking at it drops away, there's just this reverence and caring for something in the way that we wish to be cared for, that allows the giving and the receiving to be one in the same.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing too, as you were saying, that there really is no difference, is there?
No.
So you might be giving to like what? What have you been giving to recently?
Wow. It's interesting. I've been giving my attention. I've been looking at attention as the purest form of love.
Uh-huh.
And seeing that if I'm directing my attention in that way, that I'm in, there is love.
Right.
And so I've been loving everything. or being with love with everything.
So you could be giving that attention to the dishes as you wash the dishes,
yes.
or to the plants if you're kind of taking care of the garden,
yes.
or really anything.
My bicycle.
Your bicycle.
Yeah.
And what I hear in that is, or what I'm it's sort of implied, is that when you're giving that attention, you're also receiving that attention.
Yes, I'm having the same experience. Yeah, I'm having that experience. I'm having the experience of the love of pure attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we often talk about, you know, our practice as a practice of non-separation. You know, we're ending the illusion of separation that conditioned mind is attempting to establish all the time in our thoughts. And what you're saying is just such a perfect example of that. You know, it's you're practicing something through your attention. You're practicing this giving, and the result of that, or what happens, is there's an experience of non-separation.
Yes, and it doesn't matter what I give my attention to. Just as you were pointing to, it could be my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And each breath in is a yes. Each breath out is a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and that in conjunction with whatever I'm doing. You know, so there's just layer upon layer of this gift of being with.
Yes, yes. And we could expand that out. So there's that very pure form of giving in terms of the attention. And then there's ways of practicing that giving in more, you know, what you might say more traditionally giving sorts of ways.
Yes.
So it could be giving to a neighbor. It could be giving to a child in your life.
Yes.
Or it could be, you know, broaden it out a little more, giving to an organization or something that you believe in.
Absolutely. So what occurred to me was after the workshop, I was so filled with gratitude and with reverence, you know, around the practice and really wanting to give back, that since then I've come up with a couple of ways to participate and to raise money. You know, for the bridge walk. And I don't know that those would have dropped in without the opening created by the workshop.
Yeah, yeah, you've got that practice of giving, and so there's
yes.
an opening. So, well, and it feels good, and it's expansive, and it connects you with all of life, and there's all these good things to go about it. So naturally out of that, there's a looking for more ways to give.
And a sense of almost being so, like, overflowing with it, like I can't hold it all. Like
mm-hmm.
it's like it wants to come out. It wants
mm-hmm.
to be expressed in different ways,
mm-hmm.
and it wants to be expressed creatively. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's great, and that's really I think the invitation that Sherry was making to all of us in the workshop, and is now being offered to all of the Sangha, is to initiate or continue a practice of giving. And so that could look in all the different kinds of ways you've mentioned, in the moment-to-moment giving of attention. And it also could look in terms of like a project, like a giving project. And so, you know, one of the things that could be given to, as you indicated for yourself, would be the folks in Cantalomba as a part of our Africa project. We have the Bridge Walk coming up on October 5th. And so this is sort of the season of giving. You know, where a lot of people like yourself are doing fundraisers and different things to attempt to collect some money in order to give to the folks in Africa. So, and that's just one possibility. You know, folks could kind of choose how they want to practice giving and what they want to focus on as their project. But that's the suggestion, that we all kind of have a project like that, a project of giving that helps us practice that spirit of non-separation.
Yes. And what I'm seeing in this, too, is in participating in that way, we receive the gift of being lit up.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I think
connected.
That's kind of, yeah,
it
makes a full circle right there.
Yeah.
I did notice you said that word participate earlier, too, because that really is it, because it's not just sort of, you know, off in a distance writing a check for something. Like in your case, you're doing a fundraiser or several fundraisers, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, three of them, yeah.
Three of them. So you're giving of yourself. by participating in these fundraising activities. In the course of that, it's very likely you're connecting with other people, you're lighting other people up, you're getting them interested also in giving, so you're kind of spreading that good energy of giving around. And then as a result, there is money for the folks in Africa, which is a wonderful thing, and then you get to fuel it up.
Yeah.
So it's like it connects all the dots, and I just love that. I mean,
yeah.
It feels like it's only practice that can do that.
Well, it is, and you know, and there's another gift. You know, it's like I'm offering the gift of an opportunity for other folks to participate.
Mm-hmm. There,
but,
yes.
Yeah, so it would almost be stingy. I mean, you know, it occurs to me it would be stingy not to extend
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens with it, you know, once that's done, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that
opening was created, that opportunity, that desire to spread the love, I guess is the word that comes up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the practicing of it is the point, not the result.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. All right, well, thank you very much, Caroline. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a real gift, Justin. Thank you.
A real gift. Okay, thanks. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye.
Turning it over to you here, Michael.
Okay, great. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you,
Caroline. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
It's the
Were they inspiring?
Yes. Yes, they were. It was great. It was
My
great.
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
As
hey,
was
before
the workshop.
Before we leave that topic, we have another thing that's coming out, because as Justin and Carolyn were indicating, a bunch of us were together on Sunday looking at this focus, because we're part of that year-long retreat that the cooperative practice, and we want to. This is the time when we invite everyone in to practice this, because it's just a fun practice. And so if people want to join in, there are going to be some little newsletters that are coming out every week, I think, for the next 6 weeks or something like that.
Wow.
That have a practice focus as part of them.
Oh.
And just kind of an encouragement and an invitation to join in, and different ways to gain support for having this fabulous experience of realizing the non-separation that's possible for us to experience in giving and receiving as one act.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Very exciting.
It is. You know, Bridgewalk time is kind of, it's turning into sort of the holiday season for us, isn't it? it's perfect that it's October, because then we get right into the Thanksgiving. And all of the celebrations in December. And so it's very practice, gratitude, fun, joy-focused time of year. So.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. All bringing us back to that experience of non-separation.
Yes. Yeah. Just one more way to thwart egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, in its attempts to get us off alone and isolated and abandoned so that it can continue to torture us. So we you know, here's another way to go up against that.
Yeah.
That tendency, and a really marvelous way to realize to real -ize oneness. It's such a I hate to use the word concrete, because that just doesn't seem right, but it's such a tangible way something that we can practice to have that experience. And of course, once we practice and have an experience, we realize that we can apply that experience everywhere, especially when it comes to something like non-separation, the non-separate reality that we all share as cells in the body of the Buddha.
Yes, which it seems like you're encouraging us, which practice is encouraging us all the time, is to see that bigger, much, much bigger perspective than conditioned view of ego.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because when ego gets us into that little tiny place, suffering is inevitable. It's just, it is. It's like being locked in a closet. It's just not going to be a good time. And so every step we take outside of that, we break the lock, we open the door, we turn on the lights, we open the windows, we get fresh air, we connect with other people, we see the environment around us and begin to feel that it's life. And we could just take more and more steps away from that little torture chamber that karmic conditioning has an awful lot of people trapped in.
Yeah, hallelujah for getting over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some announcements here.
All right.
Speaking of ways to get us out of prison, mark your calendar now to participate in our fall and winter events.
Mm-hmm.
So on the schedule page, you'll see dates for guidance days, at-home retreats, and other opportunities that help you stay connected.
Yeah, and that retreat that we just did on Sunday for people who weren't a part of it, it was virtual, right?
Yeah.
We were all over the world, including, you know, folks, the usual or often, I would say, we have people in Great Britain and Europe and like that, and China, and in this case, Zambia, since our team in Zambia was joining us. And so when you say at-home retreats, that's what you're talking about. It's all, everybody is wherever they are, and we come together through the wonders of technology, and it's powerful. It's powerful to have that kind of experience. You know, karmic conditioning would say, well, how good can it be? I mean, you're at home, and it's marvelous because anytime Sangha gets together and does work together, it produces amazing results.
It does. And for me, it was that kind of feeling of just being, it was on the first call, I think I felt like, oh, yeah, this is practice. This is group. We're back in the flow, and we're all here, and this
yes.
is what we do, and it was great.
Yeah. And since the privileged environment is such a big part of what we do anyway, we're not looking at people, so what difference does it make if
yeah.
we're by ourselves, sitting in our living room?
Uh-huh.
We're just as connected as if we were all sitting in one room together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And coming up in September, join us for What You Practice Is What You Have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really hope people will. That is just one that doing it once is just not even close to enough. I don't know how many times I've done it now, and I see and hear new things every single time. So if people have done it, I hope they'll repeat it just because it's getting ready to go off the menu. And if you haven't done it, for goodness sakes, do. It's just such a powerful foundation piece in practice, where we are in practice currently.
Great. Yes, it's for those steeped in practice, and it's a different experience from any other retreat.
Yeah, sure is.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to find out more and to sign up for any of these events.
And, of course, the Bridge Walk.
Of course, the Bridge Walk.
Yeah, because registration is open. We can get there and get our – I just saw the T-shirts. Don't miss
the lovely.
T-shirts. Yeah, they're good.
I think it's Saturday, October 5th. I don't have it in front of me, but
that's it.
I think that's
you're exactly it. Right. Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge. And our call-in number is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. Show ID is 15406. And then you'd enter £1 or your pin pound. And if you can focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that will support all of us. Here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jodine calling.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi. Hey. I promised a month ago to call you back in a month, and here I am.
Very good, very good, very good. Keeping promises, To others is important. Keeping promises to ourselves, critical.
Yeah.
Very good.
And my intention is to out conditioning in this call.
Good.
So we'll see. Point.
What's it been up to?
It has been reeling from basically me taking the attitude that I am in the Olympics of practice. and I'm training to be, I don't know, for the decathlon or something like that. So I had just started Zen awareness coaching a month ago, and my coach and I, my coach and I have actually had a good laugh about what conditioning is actually doing to me. Like, the big picture is that I realized I really needed some help. I'm in this incredibly challenging circumstance in life where I'm dealing with this very serious illness that kind of came out of nowhere. As I've said many times on this show and other times, I've dealt with a number of chronic illnesses in my life, and I have really deep karma around it. So conditioning was coming at me with everything, it seems like. Basically what I'm finding is that that it doesn't stand up to it can't stand up to me when I make the commitments that I know are going to support me, and when I follow through.
Yes, yes. That I just want to stop and underline that, Janine, because it is so important. It's conditioning, karmic conditioning, the voices of self-hate, scare, is P-Wadden a kind of word that we can use in public? I hope so, because I just did. Out of most people. People are terrified. When it roars up and starts its stuff, people get terrified and start trembling and agree to do anything that it says just to try to survive it. When you catch on to what you've got on to, that it has no power except the power we give it. So it goes at scaring us. If we're scared, then, yeah, it wins in a big way. If we're not, if we just say, no deal, I'm not going on, along with that, it has no ability to do anything to us. So it'll escalate and escalate until it's doing the worst that it can do, and it's saying all kinds of stuff. And actually, if we stay on it, it starts saying really stupid stuff, and we finally are able to hear what's going on and hear it for what it is. But after a certain point, it can't do anything else. So if you say, I'm going to do this, this is what I'm going to do, and you actually come through for yourself, it's powerless against you.
Yeah, and, you know, I had proved that to myself in what seems like kind of small ways before, but actually I think they were kind of big ways. But now it's like, it's just, it's crucial. It's like I said, I'm in the Olympics because
it's life and death.
It's so ugly. Yeah, it's so ugly and so terrifying when I slip. The plug for practice, I mean, I'm already plugging practice, but another plug for practice is that I got to a certain, one day I was starting my yoga practice first thing in the morning, and one of my commitments to myself, and it was pulling out all the stops,
to get you not to do it.
Yes, to get me not to. And And one of the and so it came up with a story, and then I'm like, oh, that tired old story, because of practice, I'd heard that story before. I knew that somebody used to go for it, you know, and that,
yeah,
I don't want to. And then,
yeah,
it pulled out like the next tired old story, and this is what my coach and I were laughing at. You know, it's like, oh, and that tired old story too. Sorry, you know,
yeah,
too bad.
Yes. So again, what you're pointing at is, first of all, you've done a lot of practice. Second of all, when you realized that you were in these rather dire straits, you upped the support you have for your practice, right?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what all of the information from the voices says don't do, right? So you got yourself a coach, somebody who could assist you with accountability, assist you with what you're describing right now, which is disidentification. So you could step back and realize, whoa, that's an old story. I've gone through that. I've seen through that any number of times. It's not giving me any new information here. These are new circumstances, but what karmic conditioning is doing is the same thing that it's always done. And having the support of somebody who can assist you in stepping back and seeing what's going on for what it is, you can actually laugh at it rather than allowing it to ruin your life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. That is so
and,
very good.
Yeah, I just felt like I was on the you know, it was like the rest of this hour is for me.
Yeah.
Period. I'm free.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're doing, whatever the circumstances in our lives, that's what we're doing all the time, right? We're just realizing what's going on, stepping back from it, seeing it for what it is, and working out our own salvation diligently, because that's how we save a human being from that land of torture and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Moment by moment. By moment, choice after choice after choice after choice.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, you're going to keep us posted, aren't you?
Can I just ask for a little bit of guidance or homework maybe? The place where I'm kind of getting stuck at the moment is on the coming out of these, what feels like these victories. The next thing I'm seeing conditioning is trying is it's saying, okay, that's great, but you know, you can't keep this up forever. And so, you know, why keep going?
Why try?
And yeah, why try? And then, and the thing is that I know that's, horse buggy, but there's somebody who, when she hears that you can't keep this up forever, she's like, oh, my God, I know. You, like, she's ready to fall for it. And I'm trying
okay.
to
so there,
support
there are two
her.
There are two things about it. One, either that is a real person, a young person, and if that's
mm-hmm.
the case, then that's the person that you really want to give extra support to. So
right.
Of course, the very best way to support anybody is through recording and listening, right? So what I want you to tell her, to remind her, is we don't know that. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know that. First of all, you have kept it up forever. How many years have you been doing practice?
14 or something.
Yeah, that's pretty close to forever. That,
right.
That's two dog lifetimes, right? So, so you actually have quite a track record of keeping it up. So nobody knows that you're not going to keep this up for the rest of your life, and that you're not going to live to be 120. So that's a lie. And
okay.
the second point that I would like you to make to this person is to ask the voice when it says that to you, what is your point? What is your point? You're saying I should quit now because I might quit at some point in the future? Because if that's what you're saying, that's absurd. That is the most flawed logic that anybody ever came up with. So if that's what you're saying, we can write you off as a moron because that's just stupid. Okay? So this is the kind of conversation you want to have with that person, right? So you're actually mentoring that young person, if it is a young person. And it may not be a young person. It may be karmic conditioning playing tennis with itself. So it lobs a ball over the net. You're not going to be able to keep this up forever, then karmic conditioning on the other side hits it back. Well, you're probably right. So you might as well quit now, goes the next one. Might as well just give up so you want to make sure that's not what's going on. So you're watching really closely and carefully, and you're doing a ton of conversations with the mentor to support everybody in seeing what is actually so in life. Namely, nobody knows what the future holds. And there are a lot of very foolish people who want to try to predict the future, but they do not know.
All right. That is great homework. Thank you so much for pointing that out.
You are so welcome. Keep us posted.
Okay. Okay,
right.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
All right.
Thanks, Mary.
Good night, Jodine. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back for more callers.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pasha. Hi, Michael.
Hey,
hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Coming back after the retreat. And it feels great. This retreat was unusual for me, as I managed to bring a lot of conditioned behavior on the retreat and observe it under better
the microscope.
Yes. Thank you.
Pasha, I want to interrupt you right now and just catch everybody up to what you're saying, because it's really, really important. So in other retreats, conditioning was kind of on its best behavior. So you would come on retreat and you just kind of blissed out and ecstatic and seeing all this stuff and lit up and so happy, which was nice. But then you'd go back to your regular life and it wasn't nearly as much fun as being on retreat. Yeah?
Yes.
So on this retreat, what made it really different is the same stuff that you face in your regular life was there for you to face on retreat. So you really got to take a close, hard look at it with the supportive environment of practice.
Yes. And what I see now is, well, first of all, I don't know what's happening. Maybe I'm more experienced retreatant now, but usually I have a backlash coming back pretty hard, as conditioning would say, okay, well, retreat is over, now let's go and get busy with this million things and lose yourself.
Now, let's get back to making Pasha miserable.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this time it feels like things are moving slowly, it's more gradual. Even like I went to walk like right after the next day. Of course, I'm noticing how conditioning is trying to bring up those old stories, but now they are noticeable. Now
yeah.
I'm seeing how it's trying to pull me into that belief that now I'm not on the retreat.
Yes, yes. And so this is the same language that we've heard before this evening, the old stories. So the power
yes.
of seeing mm-hmm. that these are old, tired stories that you've been listening to and believing for way too long, and now you
yes.
see them for what they are, which is really
yes.
powerful, isn't it?
Yes, very powerful. And I came across the old conditioned behavior, which conditioning was I went identified for some time, and I'm facing this old behavior. And the question, the voice is saying the question, well, you know, are you going to do it or not? So, and
uh-huh.
I was in that pose. Okay, he's my choice. I can do it. I cannot do it. And I decided I'll do it with just continuing the same attitude, like being on a retreat, looking under the microscope, and doing the same conditioned behavior, but with a small step at a time, paying attention. And
uh-huh.
it was painful. It was painful because that's usually a unconscious behavior I do, and doing the same unconscious behavior consciously is kind of painful.
Okay, now I have to stop you again, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
once again, you're saying something that we all need to take in. So the way karmic conditioning gets us and keeps us is by having us go unconscious and do behaviors that it can then beat us up for afterwards. So
yes.
it kind of puts us to sleep, puts us in a state of distraction, talks us into doing something, we do it, then it wakes us up and says, look what you did. And
yep.
what you decided is that you would not change that behavior because you're conscious of it, but that you would actually choose to do the behavior with full consciousness. And
yes.
it's painful to do,
yeah.
right? And
mm-hmm.
so, of course, what I just saw when I said that is you get to have the pain while it's going on rather than being awakened afterwards and put into a world of pain because
yeah.
of what happened. Yeah? Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And it's not painful in the sense of like suffering. It's painful in the sense of I'm being present with somebody who is suffering or used to suffer over that, and I'm with him, and
yeah.
he's suffering, and I'm with him, and we're not changing anything. And the voices would scream that, you know, I should stop it. I'm done with this, and I'm continue doing it. That was my previous kind of behavior, you know, coming after retreat. Oh, okay, I'm now done with that, I'm never going to do this again. But then all the time I slip into this pattern, so I don't wait until this time happens. I just continue going with old pattern, paying attention, staying with the person who is doing it. And it's kind of, you know, for the someone who get identified at that moment, it kind of took all fun from the behavior, like fun in quotes.
Yes.
So.
Wow, that is mm-hmm. so huge, Fascia. It is mm-hmm. so huge, and it's really, it's the way out of suffering, isn't it?
Yes. Because this allows me to see and kind of soaked in the understanding of that behavior as being harmful for that person.
You're standing right there next to this guy, watching him do something that is really harmful to him. And it's all happening in full consciousness and with compassion.
Because I'm there committed to help him. I love him. I want to save him. And I'm there for him. It's not like the voices would say, like, I make him suffer. I don't make him suffer. I'm just being with him through the same suffering circle that our voices are putting him through. So we went for the full ride, you know, together. And it just, after that, I mean, it's not fun, it's painful, and it helps me to recommit of, you know, recommit to practice, recommit of not engaging in this behavior, not believing this story that is going to be fun somehow, because I know it's not fun.
Right. Well, and again, to me, the importance of what you're saying is you have committed to him, to saving him, which is very different from somebody committing to not doing a behavior. So what you're committing to is being with him until he chooses not to do the behavior. And that's what frees us, because if it's somebody else choosing not to let him do that behavior, there's no freedom in that. But when he chooses for himself, because he realizes it's painful, it's not fun, it doesn't give him what he needs and doesn't give him what he wants, and he can have something that he really does want, which is companionship, kindness, caring, compassion, understanding, he's going to choose that, because he started doing those behaviors in the first place because he didn't have that kind of compassion and loving kindness and understanding. It really is the way to be free to, and in this case, to assist someone to choose their own freedom.
I'm there to help him, and And right now, what just came up, you know, if he needs to go through that again, I'll go with him through that again.
Consciously.
Or if he decides, consciously. Even it's painful, it's worth, you know, helping him. It's for him. It's a life and death. For him, it's a big deal. So I'm right now in some kind of, in unusual place where I see all these pulls to the old behavior, and I'm with the guy who knows where they lead. So we are now together, and it feels it feels very unusual. But at the same time,
yeah,
it's great. It's great to be together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, I just hope that anybody who relates to what you're saying, and I can't imagine that's not all of us, that being pulled into those old behaviors and the commitment to go through it consciously to free the person who has been suffering in those cycles, it just, it's really an excellent, excellent place to be in practice. So thank you for that. And
yes,
you'll let us
thank
know,
you so
right?
much.
You'll let us
yes,
know.
And,
okay.
I promise.
Good.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Arthur.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. You're listening.
You know, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Your turn.
Well, it's just that it's so good it's what I love about this this kind of conversation, because that's both of the conversations from this evening are big practice principles that I'm hoping everybody takes and applies in our own lives. It's just these conversations are for all of us, and I hope people hear it that way.
Yes. Do you want to pull out what the practice principles are?
Well, it's the not specifically the practice principle for this one that I'm talking about is the importance of using every experience that occurs to anyone in Sangha for our own enlightenment.
Yes.
Because whatever is going on with one person when they get to the place of, so something as simple as keeping a commitment to yourself. So we'll hear somebody talk about that for themselves, and if we get fooled into thinking, well, that's what that person is doing, this is my issue, then we miss something tremendous, a tremendous opportunity that Sangha brings us. So with each person hearing where they are in practice, what they're looking at, and how they're seeing it, then we look at our own lives and our own practice and say, now, how does that show up for me, and how can I apply what I've just heard from this person's process to my own process to move me ahead in being able to see something that it might have taken me ages to see if I ever saw it, if I didn't watch somebody else go through it.
I'm nodding my head profusely.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm right with you. We're all the same.
Yes, exactly. And even though the content of people's lives, obviously very different, the processes, as we're fond of saying, are exactly the same. So just with the two conversations we've had tonight, at some point in people's lives, everybody is going to hit that place and have that opportunity. And if we get this in our little tool belt, that's a situation. Okay, well, I heard about that. And what that person was trying was, and so I'm going to try that.
Yep.
That's how we really benefit one another.
Yes. Yes. Power of Sangha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. We're going to break for an important message here, Sherry, and then we'll be back for more callers.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Christine.
Hi.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What are you up to?
So thank you for the retreat on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I'm looking at right now, giving and receiving. So my example during the retreat was taking care of my mom because she just had a hip replacement surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing great. I know that conditioning is just all over it, of course.
Yes, so, big surprise.
So I'm looking at taking care. I'm taking care of her. She's taking care of me. And I think what is happening is if nothing's wrong with that and I'm just going along doing whatever I'm doing, conditioning doesn't like it. And there's a part about, well, you know, so the part about feeling like there's no separation while I'm caring for someone else. I guess I'm not sure about that.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is maybe it's there. Maybe as I'm going along and everything's fine and I'm just doing a task for someone, maybe that is non-separation and the feeling of I'm caring for myself. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Yeah.
Yes. And what often happens, that now, perhaps not in this case, but what often happens. So I'm going along and I'm caring for somebody and it's absolutely meeting all of my needs to do that. I have the time, I have the energy, I have the strength, I have the willingness, I have all the components.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a signal that comes in that I miss. And it might be that I didn't eat on time, or I didn't get the exercise that my body needed, or I was tired. And I didn't lie down and rest, or I wanted to meditate and I put it off, and then I did, you know, you're with me on these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And there's a little signal there and conditioning overrides it. So now I've moved out of this is life unfolding and everything is perfect in that to we've slid over now just ever so slightly. And given a little opening to karmic conditioning, and the generosity became a better idea. I don't need to meditate right now. I can do it later, and boom, it's inserted itself and it's got to. So not right then, but down the road, right, and it begins to build. So I actually don't feel like doing this right now. I actually don't have the energy for it. Not what I want to be doing because there's this other thing that arose to be done that karmic conditioning talked me out of and told me I should be doing this instead. And that's the old slippery slope that we hear so much about. And before long, there is vast separation. I feel resentful and irritable and bad and guilty. I'm a bad daughter. I'm a, you know, whatever else is going on. All because I let karmic conditioning override that signal from life that it was time for something different.
Ah, yes, thank you. That's exactly what happens. Yes, uh-huh. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And Christine, yes. I think that the great message in all of this is for us to be able to catch the subtlety of that signal. Now, let me ask you a really dangerous question here. Is your mother a nice person?
Yes.
And she seems to like you.
Yeah.
So then, one of the things when it's not in the hands of karmic conditioning, one of the ways that this whole thing that we're looking at can be applied is that your mother also wants to take care of you, even though she's had a hip replacement and she's the identified patient at this point. She still wants to take care of you. So when that little, now this is just an example, obviously, but when that little signal comes up that I would really like to go out for a run, or a bike ride would be glorious right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to say to your mother, now, do you need anything right now? Because what feels like it would really take care of me is to go for a bike ride. And, you know, I'd be back in about an hour and I'll have my cell phone. And if you need anything, and my projection is, she would be delighted to give that to you.
She is. It's true, because I have gone out and she says, take your time. No, and when I say, you know, of course, call me, and she doesn't call. So it's true. It's true.
Yes.
She
gets to give to you,
yeah.
And she receives that giving as you give to her and receives a giving.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So And so when I hear, and I do hear a little, like, this would be a good time to meditate. Oh, this would be a good time to meditate. And it's important that I go for it, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because otherwise what karmic conditioning would do is I'm not saying this is in your case, we're just talking generalities here. But what karmic conditioning would do is have you not meditate and then over time blame it on your mother.
Yeah.
Right? As if she stopping you.
Right, that's right. No, she's not. Or say, well, I can't do, when she does the next hip, I can't, you know, I'm not available, I can't do it.
Right, she's got to have other children here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
She does.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Rather than allowing it to be a growthful, joyful practice opportunity and just a great time in life, which it could be, all times could be if karmic conditioning weren't there doing its darndest to ruin everything for us. It would talk you into, oh, this is just too much. This is too hard. I can't do this. This is taking too much of a toll.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Okay, thank you. I just want to ask one thing about her conditioning. So the slave, I always call it the slave driver that I was raised to have, because she has one that just drives. And when her slave driver is driving me, and I already know I don't want to be driven by my slave driver, so it's a funny situation for her slave driver to do that to me, and I already consciously know I don't want to do that to myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So again, this is one of those general places. We are deeply conditioned to believe that parents, parents are the providers of wisdom and clarity. Now we were told that when we were little tiny kids. We got bigger, we realized it wasn't true, and yet even though we realize it's not true, we still operate out of it. So there's a way that you are conditioned to be with your mother that actually has no relevance at all for anybody. So that's a very long way of saying, in this in this situation, it is very likely that you are the teacher and she is the student. Now, of course, you never have to have that conversation. But the way it plays out is that you have a chance to offer her in her lifetime what she didn't previously have a chance to experience. And that is that it's possible to go beyond karmic conditioning and self-hate. So what you do is you live the practice in such a way that it is available for her to see how it works, and whether she takes advantage of it in this lifetime or not, to have an experience of what's possible for a human being. But if you don't do that, if you continue to play the role of, I'm the daughter, she's the mother, this is our dance, this is what I have to do, then you lose. You lose your opportunity to be different in the situation, and she loses the opportunity to see that something else is possible.
Yeah.
So when the slave driver kicks in, again, you're looking for really subtle messages. There's a that, you know, grabs you somewhere probably around the solar plexus. You know it's coming because you've been down this road so many times, right? And so you practice saying whatever works for you that's along the lines of, okay, that, all right, that's great. But right now, what I need to do is da 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 da. And you make a different choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kindly, yeah. Happily, you know, with a sense of humor, with lightness about it. Not making fun of her, but lightness directed around the area of slave driver.
Yeah, and I've talked with her about it. I mean,
yeah.
So I can make a joke about it. It's
yes.
True.
You can, and so you might as well. And what the two of you have a chance to figure out is what's really important to her and what is just going on
right.
in her head.
Oh, right. What? Yeah, you're right. What? Right. What is really important to her? She would say everything needs to be neat and tidy or whatever. But
yeah.
Even beyond, even maybe under that.
Yeah.
You know.
But, okay, everything does, Mom, but there are only 24 hours in the day.
Yeah.
So give me your top five, and I'll tackle those today, and then we'll get another five tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's something like clean the garage, in which case it might be a little more than, you know. But
that
place where you can, instead of everybody getting tense and tight and drawing lines and, you know, it's going to be ugly, but I just have to do this. It's a light, fun, all right, there's the slave driver. Let's put the slave driver over there in the corner, and you and I get together here on the couch. And decide what we want to get done to have a happy, loving life. And the slave driver is just going to have to chew her fingernails.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see lightness in it. And
And it's up to you, but don't take it on as a pressure. It's just your opportunity to start to tease this all apart and have a different relationship with it. That's all it is.
Okay, that's good.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thank
Let
you
us know,
much.
Huh? All right.
Yeah, I will. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Christine. Good night.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christine. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, it's in that kind of middle time. It's 3 minutes to the top of the hour here.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to let it go, Michael, because we've had such amazing conversations with people.
Yes.
I bet there's a fourth one out there, because I think we had three, right? There's a fourth one out there. I don't want to get 3 minutes into it and then have to say, ooh.
Yes.
But we'll try to continue this if we ever get on the radio at the same time.
Yes. Yes.
So I'll just say thank you so very much.
You beat me to the punch. I was just about to get the words out. How did I get so lucky?
Oh, I know. I know the feeling. Let's do it again, huh?
Okay, great. Thank you,
Sharon.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Good
night.
Good night.